Anybody else on the call but me?
Hi. I'm here. You know, I started the call about a minute ago, but I forgot to take myself off mute. All right, that's not very good. All right, everyone, welcome to the call. We'll start it over again since I was on mute. Today is October 14th. My voice is still kind of a little hazy, but better than it was last week. I got slammed with the swine flu. I don't recommend it to anybody. My children brought it home from school as a gift, and it wasn't very fun. But at least I won't get it again, at least hopefully. But it did play some interesting things to my voice. So for those of you new on the call, just, you know, we spend the first 10, 15 minutes talking about principle, the persuasion, one of the many tools of persuasion influence, and then we'll talk about application this week. And that way you can focus on the little things every week that will really help you out in your success. And we've been focusing on the last couple of weeks, we've been doing a live or replay on trust, which is a magic ingredient, a secret ingredient for a lot of people. Real estate, network marketing, entrepreneurs, doesn't matter what it is. If they don't trust you, it doesn't matter how good your offer is. They will run, they will flee, they will lie to you, they will say it's too expensive, can't afford it, talk to you later, talk to my spouse, which we know most of the time is a lie anyway. So we've talked about different industries and the different levels of trust. We talked about character. It's called the 5 C's of trust. So we talked about character. We've talked about competence, which we focused on last week. And this week we're going to get into confidence. Okay? Now, if you've ever read the books from J. Conrad Levinson, he's from the, if you ever heard of the guerrilla marketing, and he says confidence is the number one reason people are persuaded to buy from you. Confidence triggers trust. Okay, that's very important to understand. If you're not confident in how your presentation, how you come across, there's no trust. Demonstrating confidence in everything you do increases others' abilities to place their trust in you. Okay, that's critical. And the interesting thing is I've studied persuaders, and I watch them persuade other people, and I go into sales organizations. I've seen plenty of people of, I'd say, average to mediocre persuasion and influence ability, but they're more effective than others who are more naturally gifted simply because they exude a greater confidence. And we're going to explain exactly how to do that. Because the people we admire and look up to, if you take a look at it, are the type of people who know what they want and how to get it, and we like to be around confident people. And so, can you, I wonder if you can think of a time when you went to buy something and you're, and maybe the sales rep's easy or unsure of themselves, they causes them less eager to buy, and that's the trigger that happens to a lot of people. You see, when people who lack confidence always struggle to get that trust. And here's the thing, if you're ever perceived as doubtful or underconfident, your audience feels that way too. So if you have any doubts in yourself and your product or service, your audience will sense that too. That's very important to understand. So don't panic if you don't feel full confidence 100% of the time, because complete confidence in oneself does take experience, time, practice, and patience. But there's little things that we're going to work on this week to really increase that confidence. Now, confidence can be your assurance, your belief, your conviction. That's what we're looking for. That's critical. Now, the people who lack confidence, as I interview people, here's some of the things that they say. This is kind of a red flag for people you meet, or maybe in your own life. People who lack confidence tend to react very defensively to criticism. They tend to be not very honest about their own abilities and limits. They're the type of people that will lie on their persuasion IQ test. They're the type of people at live events that will leave the room to pretend to take a phone call thinking they have the skills, but deep down they know they don't. They do not like advice or input from other people. How dare they? We could all use advice and input from other people. They don't learn from their mistakes. They tend to blame others for things that go wrong. They avoid new challenges. They like to play safe. And they tend to be very pessimistic. They always expect the worst. So let's talk about what really hinders. The number one thing that really hinders your confidence is fear. All your doubts, questions, concerns, insecurities can all be traced back to fear in one form or another. Whether it's deeply hidden and you don't know about it, or you know about it and it's right on the surface. And you need to make sure that your confidence and your commitment to success is bigger than your fears. What does your audience sense when they talk to you? Are you afraid to pick up the phone and talk to people? Are you afraid to knock on the door? Are you afraid they're going to reject you? So the desire to overcome your fear needs to be bigger than fear itself. That's critical. See, when you're afraid, that fear breeds doubt, and that doubt sucks the energy out of you, and you come across as underconfidence, which destroys your trust. So your goal here, as we monitor successful people, is you manage your fears. And I've talked about fear before, but let me just give you a recap. Is that a fear is a magnified doubt, obviously, but you were only born with two fears. Everyone's only born with two fears. A newborn baby has two fears, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. So it's helpful for people to understand that all these fears that you've picked up along the way have been learned. So the good news is if you've learned them, you can unlearn them. So let me ask you, what are some of the top fears out there that you think really hurt people's confidence? What do you think? Think of any?
Fear of failure.
Jay, that's a big one. The fear of failure holds a lot of people back. They'd rather not do anything, which is a major cause of failure than risk failure. Part of that is the big fear, the fear of criticism. We're so concerned what other people think. And so when we teach millionaire psychology, you know, self-persuasion, one of the traits of millionaires is they follow their heart. They don't have time to listen to other people's criticism because every millionaire has the same story. The list of people that told them it wouldn't work, they couldn't do it, it's too risky, because that's how people are. You tell your family and friends about your dreams, your goals, your aspirations, either consciously or subconsciously, they're going to pull you down. They're going to suck the life out of you. They're going to spit on your dreams. And so you just have to realize, you have to learn to follow your heart. It might be fear of public speaking. It might be fear of rejection, the fear of criticism. The interesting fear is the fear of success. That holds a lot of people back because they think they can't maintain it. Most of their family and friends, badmouth people that are wealthy, that could be part of that millionaire psychology too. Those are all things. And so we really need to take a look at that fear and how to handle that fear. And for most fear, it's this simple. You just do it. Face the fear. You know, you're afraid of the dentist, you want to go to the dentist, no. You put it off for 2 years, your tooth hurts, you go to the dentist, and everyone says, oh, well, that wasn't that bad. They put it off for 2 years. And that's true with almost anything. Whether it's picking up the phone or knocking on the door. And that's why in persuasion, and especially in sales, you always hear, hey, some will, some won't, so what, who's next? That's just how it is. Not everyone's going to say yes, especially when you're going out there and you're doing a lot of cold calling or cold contacting. That's just how it is. And that's the difference, is that successful people, they face their fear. They have the same fears, but they just face them, get past it, because fears cost you a lot of money, creates doubt, destroys your confidence, which really hurts your ability to get that trust and persuade. Okay? Now, here's a critical factor, too, I want you to understand, too, is that, how can I put this? That one of the things that really hurts your ability to show confidence in what you do, again, some people fake it till they make it, and there's some truth to that, but if you really come across as not confident, what's happening in your brain is that you tend to be a type of person that's always replaying your failures. Oh, remember the time I called and they hung up on me? Remember the time I knocked on the door and they yelled at me? And remember the time this happened? And remember the time I was doing a presentation, I started drooling on myself or whatever it is? That's a big part of it. Destructive thoughts, negative attitude. Now, it's important to understand that attitude comes from expectations. If you're the type of person that always expects the worst, that destroys confidence. Indecision, hesitation, negative moods, those are all type of things that really hurt your confidence. The big one I want you to think about this week, too, is worry. Worry is negative goal setting. We've talked about this. Okay? And when you're the type of person that tends to worry a lot, that hurts your confidence, number one, and number two, what that means to me is that your vision's not strong enough. When you can really see the future, it increases your confidence because you can see it, taste it, touch it, and feel it. You get past worry, and it makes a big difference in your ability to persuade and influence. Okay? Very, very important there. Now, here's a big thing we need to address. All right, you're right, okay, that's Kurt, that's important. Now, what if a persuader seems overconfident? Does that hurt their ability to persuade? And the answer is absolutely. When you cross that line to be cocky or arrogant, then it does hurt your ability. And that's the thing here, you understand, there's a fine line between arrogance and confidence. And I guess here's the question, how can you tell the difference? Let me ask you guys, what is the difference between cockiness and confidence? Do you think of anything? What do you think?
Cockiness, you're not giving respect to your audience.
Yeah, you're not giving them respect, you're probably not listening. Those are big complaints. And it seems to be more about you than when you're confident. You know you can do it, but you're there to serve the person. And it is a fine line. See, confidence is motivated by a sincere desire to serve, to make a difference, to do a good job. You know that when you have the tools and the resource and ability to do the job right, but a lot of times when people are cocky, it's kind of an overcompensation because they're not very confident. Cocky people tend to seek approval, recognition, honor from all the wrong sources and all the wrong ways and pretty much for all the wrong reasons. They're looking for pats on their own back. Cockiness is self-centered, whereas confidence is people-centered. Cockiness is about the persuader, and confidence is about the customer. So if your audience senses any superiority, the game's over. There's no confidence, and it's a lost cause. There is a fine line there. So here's some complaints. Again, it's a fine line there. So when you cross that line from confidence to arrogance, here's some of the complaints that I get when I talk to people. Acted like he owned the place. She treated me like a child. Did not listen to what I wanted. Blamed other people. Did not own up to their mistake. They never answered my question. They always had to be right. And you can see with a lot of those that those are all things that point to the person and covering things up, and actually even low self-esteem when we talk about the low esteem are things that are red flags. So ways to avoid this, okay? Ways to avoid this, it's going to be important for you, is always be open to their feedback or taking criticism. Probably the biggest complaint I get here that triggers arrogance is this, the way you handle objections. So you've probably heard the same objection 100 times. You're excited because you know the answer. You cut them off because you know the answer. You come across as arrogant because you have to think about it. It's the first time they've voiced that objection, and you cut them off. You'll come across as arrogant and condescending. You need to listen completely. You need to pause. The way you handle objections is a big indicator of confidence versus arrogance. Admit you're wrong. Admit you made a mistake. Apologize for being late. Okay? Be honest about the strengths and weaknesses of your product. And we'll be talking about that next week when we talk about credibility, how to get instant credibility, and how to borrow credibility. Don't interrupt them. That's a big way to come across as arrogant. And always ask questions about themselves to demonstrate concern, to demonstrate that you care. Because when you boost their ego, and we talk about the law of self-esteem, that the doors of persuasion swing wide open. That's a big way to do that. Because here's the thing. People are always looking for someone to direct them in their lives. They're looking for a confident person. People that demonstrate confidence will draw people to them, and it creates trust. The reality is this. People are wearing a badge that say, persuade me. Help me make the right decision. They want to be persuaded as long as you have that trust. That's the critical factor, and that is what confidence does for you. And you don't cross the line, of course, to go to cockiness. That is the thing. And understand, too, that if you're perceived as doubtful or underconfident, they're going to feel that way, too. And this is all about first impression. So confidence is a habit. It can be strengthened. Confidence grows by doing, not by thinking. And sometimes you might need to fake it till you make it. That first phone call, that door you go to knock, whatever it needs, those are critical, critical factors to your success. Importance of trust. Next week, we're going to go into credibility, which out of the 5 C's of trust, that is rated number 1 out of all of them. So how to get that instant credibility, how to borrow credibility, those are things we'll be focusing on next week. So let me talk a little bit about homework and application. The biggest factor here, the 2 big factors, is coming across as arrogant and facing your fear. So here are the 2 things I really want you to think about this week. When you handle objections and you talk to people, whether it be face-to-face or over the phone, I want to make sure that you never cut them off and you pause before replying. That, almost half the time, is the biggest complaint of arrogance right there. You're listening. Remember, top persuaders listen 3 times more than the average persuaders. And when you can truly learn to listen with your ears, your eyes, and your heart, they'll tell you everything you need to know to persuade them. So that's the first thing. Very simple. We'll never interrupt and pause before replying. The second thing is, I want you to think about the number one fear that's holding you back from your wealth. Biggest fear holding you back. Try to figure out where you learned it. Where did you learn it, and how are you going to overcome it? Again, for most people, it's just getting out there and doing it. Most fears, we're not talking about psychosis here, but most fears, just get out there and do it, and you realize it's not that bad. Rejection's not that big of a deal. So that is your homework, the two things, handling objections and fear. Hopefully next week my voice will be a little better, but still kind of froggy. And remember the replays, if you want to review the last couple of calls, they're on Persuasion IQ, persuasioniq.com/KurtCall, K-U-R-T-C-A-L-L. You can have access to those. I think they keep the last 3 or 4 weeks up there. You're able to listen to those, and those are always available to you. So with that being said, are there any questions about what we talked about today or anything in general that's happening in the news or things that you're running into that you want to talk about? Time is yours.
Kurt, this is Roger in D.C.
Hey, Roger.
This is the first call I've been on, and I would like to be able to access the archives. Could you give us that archive number and how to access it again, please?
It depends. Are you a nice person? You're with me? All right, you ready? It's Persuasion IQ, P-E-R-S-U-A-S-I-O-N, so for the word Persuasion IQ, it's one word, persuasioniq.com/KurtCall, so K-U-R-T-C-A-L-L. persuasioniq.com/KURTCALL. If you just listened to it first time, the last couple of weeks we've been going over the different seeds of trust, and you can go back and review those if you want to.
Great, thank you.
You bet. And also in your audio series, if you have a Persuasion IQ, there's a whole segment on that too, on trust, that you can go back and review too. All right, any other questions?
Kurt, this is Jeff in Chicago.
Yeah, you bet. Go ahead.
I've been listening through some of the coursework that I had from you, and I guess the question I have has to do with telephone solicitations or cold calls. How you make a big point of body language and smiling and gestures and eye contact and all that. How do you get by all that stuff when you're on the phone?
Well, that all comes through. I mean, it's obviously more difficult, yet they have less to read and you have less to read. And so it's going to come back to your tone of voice. I don't know if you ever record yourself, but deeper voices have more success than higher voices. Vocal fillers decrease your credibility dramatically. Vocal fillers like And so that's what they're judging, is their voice. And so the biggest mistakes is... A couple things to point out is the vocal fillers is a big mistake. The rate is going to be a big mistake here, because the faster you speak, the more persuasive you are, as long as you vary it. If it's just super fast all at once, then it's not persuasive. But the key with a cold call, of course, is to, again, this is a whole other lesson, but let me simplify real fast, is that if you can just hear their voice, you can figure out if they're a more of a friendly type person or an analytical type person. That's important to know right up front, because that's going to direct what you say. And you can say, hello, what do you want? How can I help you? You can tell they're kind of gruff, probably more analytical versus the happier, cheerful, hey, hello, how can I help you voice. Now, the reason this is important is to an analytical person, you need to grab their attention with some type of a statistic, like, well, I'm going to show you 12 ways to increase your sales by 50%. okay, to an amiable person that seems to work a little better if you have a question. Like if I was doing real estate and I said something like, hey, have you ever gone through a home and it was your dream home and everything was perfect, it was the perfect neighborhood and everything was right, but you didn't think you could afford it? I make those dreams a reality. And that type of thing tends to grab their attention more than, say, an analytical person. The key here is to have four or five different things you can use to grab their attention. Watch your vocal fillers and maybe record your voice, listen to tone and some other things to get through. But you're right on. There's very few things to judge over the phone versus face-to-face. Does that help?
It does. Now, and you said that you cover this in some of your other material. I probably just haven't gotten to it yet, right?
Yeah, and we can you know, in the future, too, we can bring it up, or we can do a whole session on it if you want. I call it your verbal business card, and we can talk more about it. But, yeah, definitely.
Okay, no, that that very much helps. Thank you.
You bet. All right, next question.
Hey, Kurt. Norm in Indiana.
Hey, Norm, how's it going?
Very good. Hey, a couple of minutes ago, you were talking about the confidence versus arrogant conversation.
Yeah.
And you had a small indication that something about arrogance, or you had the word in there, low self-esteem. Are you indicating that a lot of times arrogance is kind of coming out of the base of low self-esteem, or you got any input on that?
It is, and if you want more information, reading up on low self-esteem, because when you can enhance someone's self-esteem, it opens the door of persuasion. But everybody you talk to suffers from low self-esteem in some aspect of their life. So arrogance and even pride are cover-ups for low self-esteem. When people find security in their possessions or in their job title or in their other things like that, then you know there's low self-esteem. And so a lot of times that is a big red flag, because remember, let me go through some of those symptoms again. The red flags for arrogance, these are all low self-esteem indicators too. Act like they owned the place, treated me like a child, didn't listen, blamed other people, didn't own up to the mistakes, never answered my questions, always had to be right. All big red flags for self-esteem.
Perfect. Thank you.
For that. Any other questions? Got one being emailed here. It says, Kurt, you mentioned earlier that mood has an indicator with confidence. Right, can you explain that? Now, mood is an interesting thing, and this could be a whole other phone call, and we talk about this in the perfect persuasion, if you have that audio, that mood matters. I've done a whole bunch of research on this. Now, the mood of yourself. Now, top persuaders have the ability to go from a rotten mood to a good mood very, very fast, and they tend to be in good moods most of the time, because if you fought with your spouse over the phone and then you put on that fake smile to talk to somebody over the phone or even face-to-face, they're not going to call you on it, but they sense something's not quite right. That's a big red flag, too. And then the important thing, too, is the mood of your prospect. I wouldn't say never, but I would try to get them into a better mood before I attempted to persuade them. Here's why. When people are in a bad mood, they recall negative things and how bad things are and why it won't work out. And when people are in a positive mood, they recall positive things. They send more positive traits to you, and they tend to think more of why it will work out. So that's something, two parts there. Your own mood is a persuader. I wouldn't start dialing on the phone. I wouldn't go to doors until you've got your mood in the right frame of mind, because it does. They sense it. Again, they're not going to sense that you just had a fight or you're having a bad day. They just sense something's not quite right. Remember, we've talked about subconscious triggers. That's a big, big part of persuasion. Good question. All right. So next week, we're going to go more, probably the biggest one, I think, the credibility. How do you... Because this is a big shift in the world of persuasion. How do you gain instant credibility, number one? How do you borrow credibility if you don't have any when you first visit? We'll talk about that next week for sure. We'll even talk about how sometimes revealing a weakness will actually increase your trust and that's your credibility. So, any other questions out there at the group that you want to ask before we let you go?
Kurt, again, this is Roger in D.C.
Uh-huh.
Is there in the crate of materials that I've received in the mail here, pretty overwhelming, is there one album of MP3 files that we should be following along for in preparation of these Wednesday night phone calls?
I don't go on order just because everyone's starting in a different place, but if you just received it, I would recommend going through the Magnetic Persuasion, the 12 Laws of Persuasion. That's a good foundation to get started with your materials.
Okay, great. Thanks.
But if there's, during these calls, if there's a specific thing I've mentioned that you want more information, I'd be happy to recommend an audio or an MP3 for you to go back to and re-listen to. If that's an area you really feel it's a weakness for you.
Kurt, this is Jeff again.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just have a question for you that actually has nothing to do with persuasion. You mentioned at the outset that you found out that you had the swine flu. How did you find out that you had it?
Two of my kids came home sick. They went to the doctor, and they were diagnosed with it. Next day, I became sick, and I just kind of put two and two together.
Well, the reason I asked this is I was just at my doctor's today after having been sick for about 3 or 4 weeks, and he said not to worry that I probably don't have that. So, anyway, just an aside.
Yeah, I don't know. And that's the thing. I never get sick. I haven't been sick for 3 or 4 years, but this thing kicked my butt,
yeah.
Man. Wow. Just like, where did that come from? So, yeah. All right. Well, everyone have a great week. Do the two things we talked about this week. Apply that tool. And then next week we'll focus on the other C of Trust, credibility. All right?
Thank you.
Everyone have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.